Our text this evening is from John 4, the last few verses of this chapter. Verses 43 up through the end of the chapter. John 4, beginning at verse 43. This is the word of the Lord. After 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Let us go to the Lord once again in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we come before you humbly once again this evening. We ask for your blessing on the reading and the preaching of your word, that you would grant me not only what to say, but how to say it, that I would speak in your spirit, in boldness and in truth, and that each of us here would have hearts ready to receive your word, open ears, and soft hearts. We ask your blessing on us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So our passage begins with these first few verses, 43 through 45. And it says, a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. And then it says, immediately after, the Galileans welcomed him. Some people, I will have you know, use this as a text-critical issue to say that, therefore, Scripture must be wrong. The Galileans welcomed him. Well, Jesus was raised in Nazareth of Galilee, and he went to Cana of Galilee, not but 6 miles north of Nazareth. And so, what this is saying, I think it's a bit of sarcasm on the part of John, if I may be so bold to say. The bulk of the following text actually demonstrates that the welcome he received was entirely superficial. And this is coming immediately after the text, the previous text, where it says, many Samaritans believed in Jesus, believed in him as the Messiah. And yet what he receives in Galilee is not the welcome of the Samaritans who believed in him and called on him as the Christ. But what do we see here? We see this official who comes to him, not because of the person of Jesus, but because of what he represented. And this is why they welcomed him. Because of what he had done in Jerusalem at the feast. He was a spectacle for them. He was a man who overturned the money tables in the temple. They wanted to see what else he could do. And so this is what we see in this second sign of Jesus. So the official comes to him, and what does he say? Does he say, I saw you at Jerusalem, you overturned the tables, and you called that place my Father's house? I have no doubt given these things that you then must be the Son of God. You are the Lord's Christ. Grant me the privilege to bend the knee before you and confess you before men. That's not what he said, is it? In fact, the words that he said are not actually given to us. The text just says that he went to Jesus and asked, heal my son. Please come and heal my son. What is clear is that this man had no intention of understanding who Jesus was. His only concern was, what can this man do for me and my family? What can I get out of him? What benefits are there from relationship to him? And on the one hand, it's kind of hard to fault him, isn't it? What would a father not do for his child? But Jesus does. Jesus rebukes the man. He says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And so the question is, what are you here for? Are you here for the gifts, for the benefits of Christ? Or are you here for the benefactor? How hard is my heart, the slowness of my heart, the slowness of the renewal of my mind. All too often I think of what I can get out of God and not how I can love Him. We see this throughout Scripture, even with Jesus' own disciples. If we look at the book of Mark, this whole book, you see the disciples just completely misunderstanding who God is, who Jesus is, that He is the Son of God, the very Messiah. Remember the account of the wind and the waves where Jesus is sleeping on the boat. And He comes up and says, peace, be still. And then they question, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? There's only one answer, but they still didn't get it. Think about Exodus at Mount Sinai and the golden calf. How hard is our hearts when we think of God, when we try to grasp who He is, even when He is standing before us visibly. At Mount Sinai, they have the mountain covered in flames and smoke and the sound of trumpets and lightning. And it's as if they have all that and then just turn around and say, let's forget all of that. What sort of idol can I make for myself that will give me the benefits? God brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I don't need Him anymore. We have received His benefits. When we come to the Heavenly Father in prayer, do we give Him gratitude that we can call Him Father? Or are we like the leech in Proverbs, which has two daughters, give and give? Do we look up to God and just say, give, give, give? Well, of course, we could apply this to any number of things, but I think given the previous chapter, the previous part of this chapter this morning with worship, let's apply this to worship. What is What is true worship? Why do we gather here Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings? Many of us have likely heard someone who said, "I left that church because I wasn't getting anything out of the service. I left that church because they didn't have X or Y." Not that there aren't legitimate reasons to leave a church, but if that's why you leave a church, then you've missed the purpose of worship. Should we get something out of worship? Absolutely. Should we be edified by the Word? Absolutely. Should we be encouraged by the fellowship of the saints, be convicted by His Word? Yes. But the purpose of worship is the recognition of the supreme value of God, to praise Him, to cry out to Him, to be subject to His Word. But for some, it seems that worship should have the prefix self. Self-worship. The very term is meant to direct ourselves away from us unto God. But Jesus looks at this man and says, "You want signs and wonders." It's as if He's saying, "Do you even care about who I am? That I am the Son of God, the Messiah, sent to come and give life, to give you true relationship with God, the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son." And so I must ask myself, why am I here tonight? Why am I here tonight at Tyler Presbyterian Church? Am I here to rejoice in the fellowship that I have with fellow believers? To be encouraged by these friendships? Yes. But if that is my only purpose, if that is my primary purpose, then my motives are misplaced. Am I here because Christ is beautiful? Am I here because I delight in the Holy Trinity, in the Father, Son, and Spirit? Am I here because I would bend the knee to my Lord Jesus and repent unto Him? Or am I here for me? To cry out, "Give, give, give." The official here went to Jesus wanting nothing more than a faith healer. Funny story about faith healers is that they seem to be a bit of a failure when it comes to healing themselves. There was a doctor in Uganda who went into the hospital one night. The nurse came in very quietly and took him to a back room. And lo and behold, who should be there experiencing severe chest pain but the faith healer who had been not but a few miles down the road healing thousands of people, huge crowds. They're nothing more than spectacles. And that's all that the official wanted. Nothing more than what he could get out of this man. He wanted to receive those benefits without the benefactor himself. He wanted to receive healing without any regard for the person of Jesus Christ. He wanted to receive healing without any desire to bend the knee to the Lord God Almighty, to plead with Him for forgiveness, to repent unto Him. And so let us not go to Jesus or to our Heavenly Father merely with our petitions, but have that same humble request of that one robber who died next to Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That is, in other words, let my name be before the King. Give me, grant me relationship with you in your kingdom forever. And what were those wonderful words Jesus spoke? I tell you tonight, you will be with me in paradise. When I think of the coming, the consummation of the kingdom, the new heavens, the new earth, and I think of the beauty of the city in Revelation 21, all of its elements, the jewels, the gold, the tree of life, the river of life, all of those seem astonishing, and yet the greatest beauty is nothing other than God Himself. Is that what you long for? Is it God or gift? So Jesus poses the question, will you believe if you do not see signs and wonders? Will you have faith without sight? Do you need to see to believe? Do I need to put my fingers into the holes in His hands and in His side? Or will I have faith without sight? Our narrative ends with this beautiful statement, which reminds us of the patient, loving kindness of our Lord Jesus. Just after He rebuked this man, what does He say? He says, go, your son will live. The official servants came to Him and told Him His son was well. And He knew the very hour that the fever left His son was when Jesus said He would live. And that man and his whole household believed. They had saving faith. He went to Jesus in the completely wrong way, and God still granted him everlasting life. That man came out of selfish desire. But Jesus not only granted that man's request, but gave that family the gift of true fellowship with God. So why are you here tonight? Are you here because you love the Lord Jesus? Because you delight in that bridegroom? Or are you here to get something out of relationship to His church? I'm reminded of the Lord's Prayer again. It introduces us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it introduces that first part to say, this is God. Only once you know God, know who He is, that He is the King of the kingdom, can you come with your petitions. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Do you know God? Do you trust in His Son? That is the question which Jesus posed to this man. And that is the question that is before us tonight. So let us trust in Him, even having not seen. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, You have given so graciously. You have given to a people whose selfish desires continue and continue and are persistent. How often we look unto ourselves, we look to our needs, our wants, and we forget the things of God. We ask forgiveness, O Lord, that You would grant us mercy by Your steadfast love, not merely for our sakes, O Lord, but that Your name would be praised, that Your name would be exalted. As the psalmist prayed, not to me, not to me, but to Your name give praise. For You have truly exalted above all things Your name and Your word. And so we pray that we would humbly receive Your word with joy. We ask that You would make in our eyes Jesus Christ the most beautiful and delightful person. That we would seek relationship with Him first above all things. That we would strive to glorify and honor You, loving You with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, as You have commanded us. And as we go out in this week, we ask that You would strengthen us to trust in You by Your Spirit. Trust that You are the King who reigns. And whatever trials or tribulation may come our way in the coming week, we ask Your sustaining hand. That You would guide and protect us, watching over us. Not, O Lord, for our sake, but that Jesus Christ would increase to Your glory in all things. Amen.